then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to Peter, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. The word of God for you, the people of God. Peter, the impetuous one, the one who was the first to jump out of the boat and start to walk on the water and then go, oh no, what have I done? Peter, the one who always wanted to be right up there next to Jesus, kind of like me. In this case, is coming with that same feeling, saying, so Jesus, you know, I know that we're supposed to give like three or four times, because that was the teaching. You don't forgive just once. You forgive again, and you forgive again. So he's thinking, okay, so we're going to be even better. We're going to do even more. We're going to forgive seven times, right? You know, just about double. Now, I don't know about you, but when Jesus says 77, I'm thinking, it doesn't matter if you had said 1,000,077 at that point, because 77 is so far beyond what I can comprehend forgiving one person or one thing that I'm just already going, wow. When I think about really forgiving someone or something 77 times. Will you join me in prayer? Good and gracious Lord God, as we come to you today, you open each of our hearts. And once again, pour in your Holy Spirit so that we might know your presence, so that we might hear you speak to each one of us as you know that we need to hear today. You, our rock, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. When I was 18, I moved out, and I said, thank you very much for everything you've done, but I am fully independent, and I'm just going to do my thing, and I'm fine, so thank you. And I proceeded to leave home and move into the apartment I had rented, fully independent, mind you, with just a couple things I took from home. Like a tool, because I didn't want to buy tools. I didn't want to spend money on that. You know, I just could take one of my dad's. And all you need, if you're going to take one tool, is a screwdriver, right? You've got a hammer if you get one of the ones that's not real long, because you can grab hold of it and you can get a nice good whack so I could hang my pictures. I could use the edge of that flathead to scrape off paint if I needed to. I could turn that flathead on the side and use it like a Phillips. I mean, I was good at using that screwdriver. It's like duct tape. It'll do anything. So I move out. I'm fully independent, and I take just a couple of things, and I take the screwdriver, get everything set up, get my pictures hung, get my drapes hung, take the screwdriver and tuck it into one of those brown lunch bags and toss it in the passenger seat of my car. 67 green Chevy. It was ugly green, but it was mine. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to drop that back off at mom's and dad's when I go over for dinner and to do my laundry the next time. Yes, you got it. So I go over and have dinner and do my laundry and forgot about the screwdriver. And I'm at work and I thought, oh, yeah, I forgot to drop that off. And the next week, the same thing. You know how that goes? You've got to tell somebody something and you think of it when you're not anywhere near a place where you can call. So 3 or 4 weeks go by, and my car is just a mess. It's trashed. So I decide I'm going to clean out my car. So I wash the outside, I wash the inside windows, and I'm cleaning everything, and I take all the trash, dump it into the dumpster behind my apartment. A few days later, I'm ready to go over to mom's and dad's again. And just before I leave, dad calls, and he says, Ginny, did you borrow a screwdriver of mine? I go, yeah, Dad, and I, yeah, Dad, I had it, and it was in a bag in the car, and I kept forgetting to drop it off. He goes, well, just bring it over tonight when you come. Well, Dad, I cleaned out my car, and I threw it away by accident. And here's what my dad says. Ginny, You mean to tell me that you threw away a wooden-handled screwdriver? I'm like, yes, I threw away a screwdriver, Dad. He goes, no, Ginny, are you telling me you threw away a wooden-handled screwdriver? I said, well, yeah, Dad, it was that one you had, you know, the brown, you know, it was all worn. Yeah, it was that one, but you have all these screwdrivers, and besides, you have all the plastic ones, and those are better anyway, right? No. I still don't get it, wooden handle screwdrivers, but I've had people try to explain it to me then, so. I said, well, sorry, Dad. I mean, you know, sorry. Do I sound sorry? Said the words, but I don't sound sorry. So, time goes by. Do end up going back to school. Get married. Have children. Sean turns 2 years old. And he is doing anything and everything he can do. Those terrible twos. And I would call up and I'd say, Mom, do you know what Sean did? He took Wayne's watch and he flushed it down into the toilet. Oh, it was so gross. Mom! And she'd go, oh, Ginny, I'm so sorry. And then I'd talk to Dad and I'd say, Dad, do you know what Sean did? He took Wayne's watch and he says, oh, he took his watch. Oh. But did he throw away a wooden-handled screwdriver? Totally threw me. And I said, no, what? Dad, that was years ago. So a little time goes by, and Sonia hits the terrible twos. And then three and four, and oh, I call up Mom. I was devastated this time. I don't know if you have ever been through anything like this. This was traumatic. I call up and go, Mom, Sonia got a hold of the scissors. She cut her blonde hair. She cut right up into the middle. Mom, what am I going to do? Oh, Jenny, I'm so sorry. Well, okay, it's been a few years, all right? And I tell Dad about it. Yes, you know what Dad says. I start telling him the story. He says, oh, she took the scissors. Oh, well. But did she throw away a wooden-handled screwdriver? I said, oh, my gosh, Dad. So this pattern, every once in a while, would crop up again. So I learned to complain to Mom, not Dad. So our kids get older. I'm at Iliff School of Theology, and they were a little bit older than your children. And I don't know what you've gone through with the process of moving into ordained ministry and all that it means for ourselves, but let me tell you something. Our children go through a spiritual journey also. Our spouses go through a spiritual journey also. And so our kids and my husband and my parents had come down for ordination ceremony, and we're with friends and their presents and just really nice things, and people give presents. And my dad has this big thing, like this long, and it's all wrapped up weird. You know the kind of thing when you have a toy or a box of something and it's got the plastic wrapped around it and you just don't have a box big enough, so you wrap it like it is and it looks really lumpy. So I'm wondering, what is it that Dad got me? So I open it up, and what do I find? But a wooden-handled screwdriver, and a long wooden-handled screwdriver, and a long heavy wooden-handled screwdriver, and a whole set of wooden-handled screwdrivers, even the short little ones. And I don't have them all here because some of them are hanging on my wall because they hang in my office. Because they're this wonderful symbol of forgiveness. Now, a few things, just a couple, about this story and forgiveness. First of all, on my part, have you ever said, sorry? All right, now, my hunch is that a lot of us parents are thinking, yep, my kids said that to me this week. Grandparents are saying, yep, I heard so-and-so say it to my son this week. But you know what, adults, we don't do that as much. We've gotten much more savvy. Here's what we do. We ignore the situation. We completely forget about it. Or we never bother to figure out why something was so important to someone. It never occurred to me to think about why this wooden-handled screwdriver would be important to my dad. All I knew was I didn't get it. And when I would tell people the story, men would come up and they would explain to me, seriously, how wooden-handled screwdrivers, the way they used to be made, were made and they were weighted, and I was like, I mean, really, I was, wow, I believe you. Wow. It wasn't until after Dad died that I began to really think about that wooden-handled screwdriver in a new way. And I thought, I wonder if Dad had that screwdriver when he was 14 and he worked down the street where they lived in Long Beach, California, at the gas station as a mechanic. And I wonder if that was one of the screwdrivers Dad had when the Depression hit, and Dad's, that's what we called Granddad, and Dad's was laid off. And my dad at 14 was the only one in the family able to bring home a couple of dollars. I don't know. So, a few other lessons, thinking from my dad's side. Did you notice how long it took to forgive for a wooden-handled screwdriver? And how it would crop up again and again and again? When we are hurt, our emotions have a memory. And when something happens that triggers that memory, the feelings can come back. Maybe not full-flown, but they can come back. So it makes sense that at those times my dad would be, and half kidding, but he also was asking me at that time, yeah, but, because they don't make those anymore, Ginny. I was glad to see they make them again. Of course, they're not made like they were. So forgiveness takes a long time, and sometimes we need to forgive the same thing over and over, even when we think, you ever had that? We think we're done with it, we think we're healed, we think we're fine, and it comes back. Emotions have that kind of memory, and they can come back. And sometimes we do need to work through again and again. So when Jesus says, yes, you need to forgive 77 and however many times, it's not just for the person receiving forgiveness. Because obviously, I didn't care. As a young mom, I didn't care, did I? It's not that I didn't care about Dad, but I just didn't get it. I was like, what? And I didn't stop to think about it at that time. But Dad needed to work through it. Forgiveness is a great deal about ourselves being able to release, again, that pain, that hurt, that whatever needs to be healed. Forgiveness can take a long time. And secondly, we may need to forgive again and again and again and again. And then also, sometimes forgiveness surprises us. Sometimes something so small can seem so big. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it wasn't Dad at all. I just realized I didn't even bother to think about why this was important to Dad. And it could have been something very important in his life that this was a memory of. Now, the other thing is, sometimes something is so big. And my hunch here is that every one of you, yourself or someone you love, has had something that's been very difficult to forgive. We're not alone. We are not alone. One of my favorite, absolute favorite stories, for many reasons, this is just one of the reasons, is in Exodus, when God is called Moses, led the people out of Egypt, led them through the Red Sea or the Reed Sea, helped them find food when they needed, helped them find water when they need it, on and on and on and on and on. And Moses is up on the mountain talking to God for so long, they start to get scared and they build a big golden calf, a god of their own. And God is so hurt and so angry. Do you remember what happens? God says, just forget it. God's just ready to cut the people off from this promised land plan. And Moses, It's in chapter 32 of Exodus. Moses starts asking God some questions. Are you sure you want to do that, God? Kind of slows down the process, allows things to settle a little, allows time for reflection. And God changes God's mind. Boy, there's a whole direction we could go there. Wow. Because Moses comes and says, "Are you sure, God? Remember who you are? You're a God who is slow to anger, remember? You're a God who is abounding in steadfast love, remember? All of these kinds of things, I imagine, went on in this conversation that these two friends, I love that too, had. So God changes God's mind. Whatever it is that you have, whatever it is that someone else has, honor that. Honor that for some reason there is something there that has some kind of meaning. Whatever it is, find a way to move through it again and again. Humor is wonderful. Humor, using that irony, using that little bit of teasing in there, is wonderful. It's a way to name and process and go through and move through things again. And did you notice? When I told you Dad gave me the gift, I didn't tell you that he told me anymore. Oh, but did anyone throw away? Something in Dad had healed. I don't think he consciously thought about it, but he found a way to bring atonement at one minute. He found a way. And it was a ritual. When things of faith seem so far away, so difficult, a ritual sometimes helps us touch something that has to do with God and the holy. And lastly, if it's so big you cannot, that's okay. You don't have to. My daughter told me at 12 what her favorite verse was, and it still is now at 28. I can do all things through the one who strengthens me. I can't do it by myself, but I can do it through the one who strengthens me. Thanks be to God.